Welcome back to Hour 2 of Upstate Outdoors on 106.3 WRD with Philip Gentry and Tommy Springer.
Yes, indeed.
We had a good first hour talking about all kinds of hunting and fishing. We talked to Bart Littlejohn from Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply. In the second hour, we're going to get in the Roadkill Cafe. We're not going to jump into that right yet, but we got an interview with a friend of mine, Pete Rogers, and he's starting a new project. It's a lot of technology these days. You're talking about outdoors. You can get outdoors in all different kinds of media.
Smartphone, you can get just all kind of channels you can watch on your smartphone.
And, you know, the biggest thing is a lot of these YouTube channels.
True, too.
Where you can go see, if you don't want to see, you don't have to see a 30-minute show on YouTube.
True.
You got a lot of big names that are doing YouTube TV shows. Provided by their sponsors.
Cuz Strickland's doing one.
That
really
are
nice.
7-8 minutes long where they're just like, hey, we want to talk about, what to do in this situation under this very specific type stuff, because you can search for that, and, it pops up. And the same thing kind of goes for podcasts. Of course, I got to say, we are a podcast here at Upstate Outdoors. You can go to our website, 1063wrd.radio.com, and find a podcast there. But Pete's doing an outdoors podcast. It's centered around bow hunting, and he's going to host. It's called Off Grid with Ralph and Vicky. I can never say it. C and Cirillo, and they've been on the outdoor
channel in Pursuit for quite so many years now.
So we'll talk. Looking forward to talking with Pete, and also talking about. Got a little tidbit here from the DNR about what to do with your Christmas tree. We always get that this time of year. How many folks out there got Christmas trees? Mine's in the backyard.
Really?
Yeah. I hate to say this. This is probably the last year we're going to do a live tree.
Yeah.
It's something artificial.
Yeah.
I've done that forever. But, man, it sucks when you get older and you're like, my sinuses, and I'm an outdoorsman.
It doesn't matter.
I'm an outdoorsman, but you bring that tree inside, and I can't breathe anymore. Wake up in the morning with
it. Same thing with my wife. That's why we finally went to an artificial several years ago.
Yeah.
It smells good to me, but it would drive her sinuses bonkers.
And that's what got to both of us. So was it yesterday? Yesterday I took all the fishing lures off of the Christmas tree.
You had to take some with you.
I did. We took some of them with us to Florida, but took all the rest of the fishing lures and the lights and the deer antlers and all the stuff that we used to decorate the tree with. And it's like that. Well, I'm going to leave a trail of needles on the way out to the back door. So drug it through the house, water sloshing everywhere, and throw it out in the backyard. So what do you do with that Christmas tree? Now, there's actually a couple collection places. I saw on Facebook. There's some farm somewhere.
I didn't see that.
Out there, and their goats will eat them.
Goat eat anything, dog.
It's like
everybody in our neighborhood, when Halloween and the pumpkin thing and Thanksgiving, one of our neighbors has got three goats in his backyard. Everybody takes their pumpkins down there, throws them over the fence. Some goats just have at it, man.
I don't see a lot of pumpkins being thrown away at the curb, but used to be I'd go around and collect them.
Well, yeah.
I'd go around and collect Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
And,
I used to, too.
And then take them down to, certain places.
I put a bunch in that pond behind my house over the years.
I may get into that. But anyway, looking forward to that. And also, we're going to wrap up the show with a parting shot after the calendar of events about Bigfoot College. So let's go to our break now. And then when we come back, we'll get into the Roadkill Cafe.
Right here at Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's Talk Station. Be right back. Hey, everybody, the Mad Chef is back, live on the air. And for some reason, I accumulated a whole bunch of deer meat. Never fired a shot. Kind of like that.
Isn't that pretty much standard for you?
Shut up. I knew you was going there. That's why I led you into that. That was my segue into you to, do what you do. Okay, here's another one of my Southern fried favorites, and it's chicken fried venison cube steak, baby, with some gravy. All right, what you're going to need is 2 pounds of venison cube steak, 2 cups of all-purpose flour, Season the flour with about a teaspoon of salt and about the same of pepper and a little Cajun seasoning. Got to give it a little kick. All right, for the gravy, you're going to need the reserve 4 tablespoons of the flour, maybe a little bit more. And also, you need to reserve 4 tablespoons of the grease that you just fried them steaks up in, and a little bit of cold milk. All right, so you dust each slice of cube steak in seasoned flour, set aside to rest and allow the crust to set. Doesn't take long. Heat about a half inch of olive oil or whatever you like to use in a cast iron skillet. Love cast iron skillets to do this. Until the oil reaches, you know, about 350. You place the cube steaks in there, depending on the size, about 3 to 4 at a time, and in the hot oil, and you fry for about 1 to 2 minutes per side. You can see it when it starts getting that magic color. After all of the steaks have been fried, pour out the extra oil, reserving your 4 tablespoons in the skillet, okay? Leave as many of the leftover crusty bits in the skillet as you can that has fallen off the cube steak, because that just makes the gravy even better, in the pan as possible. Add 4 tablespoons of the flour and stir in, and here you start making that magic. You're starting to work everything together, all right? And you stir it into the oil for about 4 or 5 minutes, and then you start adding your milk and stir constantly the whole time. I use a whisk to do this. Some people use a spoon. I use a whisk. I get a better consistency on my gravy, incorporating the flour mixture and the milk at the same time until the gravy, it thickens as it heats. And what you'll do is simmer until the gravy is thick enough to coat the back of the spoon, or in my case, I pick my whisk out, and when I start getting that slow drip off of it, that's perfect for me. 5 to 10 minutes is usually what that takes. Transfer gravy to a bowl and serve over the chicken fried cube steaks, and this works, you know, whatever you like, rice, whatever. Mashed potatoes is my favorite to have with this.
Can't beat mashed potatoes.
And I want to take a minute at this point in time. Every year we hear all over the internet, I watch a lot of those about processors, okay? For the last couple of years, Philip Gentry has given me venison that had come from King Cut Processing. Is that correct?
Yep.
And they do a fantastic, phenomenal job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they really do. And Money Penny as well. She's gotten some of it, and they do such a great job. It's one of those deals where the meat is done properly, and when they package it, it's packaged to where it doesn't start bleeding through the paper because it's wrapped in plastic first, and then the paper. They just do a great job, Philip, and I just wanted to give them an attaboy and tip of the hat, because a lot of people are looking for quality processors. Those guys get it done right.
Oh, yeah.
You've been using them for years.
I've been using them for years.
They made a good bit of money off of you this year.
Well, hey, good work. I don't mind paying for it.
Exactly.
And they do. They started doing a couple of years ago, they started doing a steakhouse. Now, and I got to say this. A lot of folks say, I don't like venison, and I don't get any of my venison mixed with fat.
Bingo.
A lot of people say, oh, well, you put some fat in there to make it. And I don't care what quality of fat that you buy to mix in with your venison. It's still fat.
Bingo.
And I like the straight venison, and I have no problem with it sticking together. If I want to make burgers with it, you got to be a little careful.
True.
But I will make patties of it and put it on the grill. I typically do not put it on the standard grill.
Bingo.
Like, I'll have a plate.
There you go.
Yeah, a grill plate that I'll put it on.
Bingo.
And I don't have any problems. I mean, I can make venison burgers out of it. But they did start doing a steakhouse burger where they're adding some onion mix into it and some seasoning and stuff. Yeah, I ain't giving y'all none of that.
But, you know,
might get some of it next year.
If you was creative, you could do that yourself before you actually prepare the burger. I might have to create my own recipe.
And I don't know what their mix is. It's kind of like folks who make venison sausage.
Bingo.
Okay? You can make a mess out of venison sausage.
Sure you can.
Or you can make some stuff that is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's really just all a matter of how you do it. But we made some soup yesterday. And I do a ground venison soup, vegetable soup.
Awesome.
And use that steakhouse burger in there. And it already had the onions and the spices
awesome.
In there.
Awesome.
And it was good.
And because I've seen a lot of places on social media where people's had some bad, they didn't get good quality service.
Most of it is the folks King Cut, they're going to hang it for 5 days.
Yep.
I can almost tell you, when I take that deer in, I'd almost count down on the sixth day, I'm going to get a telephone call. Bingo. Hey, man, we got you ready to go. Please come get it because we need the room.
We need the room.
Yeah, we need the room. And I got to give a shout out to Boat Girl. We're working on Junior here and out of the freezer here lately. She went down and killed a deer Saturday after the last show that we did. We went down to the club and she finally killed her deer. I told her, I said, we need one more, and this is the last time.
And she made a fantastic shot.
Oh, she did.
She was so excited about it.
She said,
the deer hit the ground immediately.
It did. So, oh, that's a good feeling when you pull the trigger and look through the scope, and he's laying on the ground.
And in Boat Girl's words, I smoked his bass.
Yeah, I tell you what, I smoked Junior. So
she's hooked forever now, dude.
She's our time. We're gonna go down there and hunt some sheds because I'm gonna buy a sticker, but you ain't gonna kill him.
Greatest Boat Girl impersonation.
I've created
ever.
A monster. Created a monster.
Awesome. I love it.
Let's go to a break. When we come back, we're gonna grab Pete Rogers and talk about his newest venture, Off Grid with Ralph and Vicky. It's gonna be a podcast.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Tommy Springer, Philip Gentry, and Money Penny bringing the Upstate Outdoors live right here on Saturday. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, 106.3 WORD, and we got a special guest on the line with us is my buddy Pete Rogers, outdoor writer, photographer, trapper, male model, and now podcast host. Pete, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Thank you, Philip, for having me.
And Pete, he hadn't really said those nice things about you. You don't want to know what he's really said about you. Well, just kidding, Pete.
I'm really questioning the male model part right there.
No, I've got proof of that because last time we went to a scope event, South Carolina Outdoor Press event, everybody was holding up fish, and that's one of the things that you do is you pick a guide and about three or four outdoor riders get on the boat, and when somebody catches a fish, the fishing stops right there.
Absolutely.
Dead in the water.
That's right.
Especially
if
somebody catches a nice specimen.
Absolutely.
And they hand the fish around.
Sure.
And, you know, I've held fish, and people taking pictures of me. And so Pete Rogers is a male model because I have seen pictures of him published holding dead animals. So
I think you published one of me here recently with some quail.
Well, that wasn't that, there's another story behind that. That has to do with not keeping up with the cards. And calling your editor going, I know somebody's got some quail photos, so you're gonna have to fill in for me on that one. But hey, let's talk about your latest project, the Off Grid with Ralph and Vicky, hosted by Pete Rogers. It's a bow hunting podcast. Tell us a little bit about that and where the idea came from.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, and I'm excited to talk about this podcast. Ralph and Vicky San Cirillo have been, if you follow hunting at all, especially on television, they've been in the television industry for 30-plus years. On the Outdoor Channel this is their 19th season, over 400 episodes. So it's quite an honor for me to have the chance to work with them on this project. And it's called Ralph and Vicky's Off Grid, hosted by Pete Rogers. And it's more than a bow hunting podcast, Philip. We really are trying to give their large base of fans and new fans an opportunity to learn who they are as just real people. We talk about a lot of personal things. But we also cover a lot of, obviously, a lot of hunting, bow hunting tips and tactics. We'll do some shows on different strategies for hunting different animals all across the globe. But we'll also talk about things that are relevant going on in the hunting industry today. We'll talk about things that are near and dear to the heart of hunters all across the country, regardless if you're pursuing whitetail, elk, moose, or small game. It really doesn't matter. So we're trying to produce a show that is very informative, but also very entertaining as well.
Now, and the podcast is a relatively new thing as far as a lot of technology going into that. They've got their own media company.
That's right.
But getting into kind of a on-demand streaming radio program with video,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you still call that a podcast, or is that still – because there's going to be video with it, video in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. But as you said so well, that they have their own Archer's Choice Media Company. And so every episode that we do is being filmed. We have cameras in there showing the entire thing. And where that came from is, if you know, like ESPN, Mike and Mike on the radio, some people like to watch radio shows. And so, podcasts are just internet radio without the FCC restrictions, or without the same restrictions that you guys have to fall under. So with their experience in videography, then it only made sense that, hey, if we're going to sit down and talk about stuff, let's set up some cameras and let's video it as well. And so that's going to be shown, the video side of it is going to be shown on their YouTube channel at Ralph and Vicky, and also on Waypoint Television, which is a streaming television station similar to Netflix or Hulu or one of those, but this is strictly hunting and fishing and outdoor lifestyle type of programming that's going to be on. That's called Waypoint TV. And you can get it through your Roku device or any smart television. Just subscribe to the streaming channel that way. So, and the podcast audio version is going to be available on, your normal outlets, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, any of those outlets that you normally would listen to a podcast from. It'll be available there starting Monday, January 7th.
And I tell you, it's just amazing. I remember back in the day when if I wanted to watch a hunting or a fishing, and never saw a hunting show when I was a kid on TV that much. You know, it was always a fishing show, and you had to get
up. Virgil Ward,
yeah,
that,
exactly.
That's it, Virgil Ward. Pete, you're giving away your age here.
I know.
And you had to get up at 10:30 on Saturday morning.
Yes, sir.
And see it. And now it's almost the opposite. You don't even have to wait, because you got a lot of these dedicated outdoor channels. And as Springer pointed out, the fishing shows have started up now that it's first of the year.
Yep.
But you don't even have to wait for them to come on. Now you can just, you can go to your streaming, your Roku, and stream that channel.
That's right.
And look at it anytime you want to.
That's right. That's right. And that's one thing, the Sportsman Channel and Outdoor Channel, where Ralph and Vicky's two television shows air on, which is Archer's Choice and The Choice, they do 21 episodes a year. On the Outdoor Channel, but that's like regular television. They're at on certain times on certain days if you want to catch a show. So, but because the new demographic has gotten so used to being able to stream things whenever they want to, and they like to binge watch. My kids love to do that. They'll find a good show and they'll watch five episodes in a row. And I'm like, no, I'm used to waiting a week before I see another episode.
Right.
This digital platform is just growing by leaps and bounds, whether it's video or audio content. It was interesting when we decided to do the podcast was, as you guys know, when y'all started your radio show, you start doing a lot of research and demographic studies and who's your target audience and all that kind of stuff. And we realized that 56% of all Americans listen to podcasts at least weekly. I said, I had no idea that it was that popular, and it's growing. It's growing rapidly. And so so we saw an opportunity where we could combine forces with their 30 plus years of hunting all over the world and for all species and by capturing all that on film, and my journalistic experience, saying, hey, why don't we combine this together and let's tap into this market that's growing so fast in the podcast. So as the host, I kind of drive the show and do interview. I'm kind of on your side of the desk there, kind of drive the topic of conversation because we digress a lot. It's very conversational. And just so people know, we don't ever do a second take. It's right like it is. It's not live like you guys are, but it's one take and that's what it is, just trying to make it as fresh as possible. I'm very excited about the content that we're putting out, the quality of it. The videography is outstanding. The audio editing is being done by top-notch people. So, I'm very excited about what this is going to do for people who love the outdoors, who love hunting, fishing, and living the outdoor lifestyle. I think they're really going to enjoy this podcast.
And we're talking with Pete Rogers, who's going to be the host of, and I got that backwards when I introduced it before, it's Ralph and Vicky Off Grid. Is that the name of it?
That's right. That's right. Ralph and Vicky's Off Grid Podcast.
Off Grid Podcast. And, yep. And we're really going to be delving into bow hunting is in basically all across the country and even in some cases internationally.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I mean, because they got their, you know, they're known for being bow hunters. I mean, Archer's Choice was what started the whole thing with his, which will be the first episode of Ralph talking about how he started in a opening up his own bow shop and how it just kind of grew from there into a television show and beyond and beyond. And so there's a lot of discussion about archery hunting. We even have a podcast that we already recorded that talks about the gear. How do you select the right gear? How do you find out which bow to shoot, which one fits you, which doesn't? And all the, I don't want to give away too much here, but all the technical side of it that goes into it. But we try to make it very entertaining as well. You know, it's easy on some of this stuff, as you guys know, to get very academic if you're not careful. You got to make it entertaining. You got to make it fun, but also something that people will get something out of.
Well, Pete, on this show, Philip is the academics. I'm the entertainment part. That's the way it works here. Philip does all the hard work. I just show up and be Tommy Springer, man, pretty much.
Yeah. And there's we don't do a second take. And
no.
Actually, we did a second take on a podcast.
Yeah, we did.
On a promo we recorded before the show.
Because
today.
He said I didn't sound enough like Tommy Springer. Like, I said, what?
He's like, that's my New Year's resolution is I'm going to try to be a little more low-key. And I said, well, I hope you break that resolution pretty quick.
But, Pete, I've been watching Ralph and Vicky for years, you know, and I think bringing their personalities to a podcast, the people that listen to it maybe get a little bit more insight on their personality and actually who they are, because when you're doing a television show, it's got to be scripted, boom, 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 you got to do this, and you got a certain amount of time.
On you a got 22 minutes to get the whole thing done.
Exactly. Right. On a podcast, you get to maybe learn more about the individuals themselves.
Yeah, and that's one of the main goals, Tommy. I'm glad you brought that up, and especially in podcast one, we really jump into that. And you know, because they have such a large, dedicated fan base, we want people to know who Ralph and Vicky are. And I can tell you that having known them for several years now, and I'm not just saying this because of podcasts, they are really salt of the earth people. I mean, just down home, the kind of people you'd like to have sit down to have dinner with at any time. They're the same off camera as they are on camera. But as you said, on the television show, you got a certain amount of time.
Yep.
And so with this podcast, we can just flesh into it and just jump in, and I can ask questions and just get them to see their real personality, who they are, who they are when they're just Ralph and Vicky and not the television people. You know, so we're going to talk about things that some of the hard work that went into, some of the failures, some of the struggles that they had. We're going to talk about their faith journey in one episode. We're going to talk about a lot of things that, as you said, will help the listener and the fan know more about who they are. And we think that's going to make a good story. We really do. Because honestly, their story is the American dream story. It's, you know, nothing but just hard work, starting with very little means, hard work, continuing to push forward, trying new things, and becoming very successful in your industry. It really is a very good, inspiring story. So, and we hope that we're able to tell it very well through this means.
And being husband and wife, I've got to see a little bit of it, how they like to jab at each other a little bit, if you get my drift.
I do.
So I think you could take it to the next level on a podcast, you know? So they get after each other pretty good, in a good way. You know what I mean? It's pretty fun, entertaining.
Yeah, it is. It is, and I tell you this too. It's that way off camera too. I mean, because their office is right next door to their house, so they literally walk 10 feet from their house to get to their production studio, and they're with each other 24/7, 365. I mean, there's very seldom, and there's not many couples that can succeed doing that. You know, you just can't. But I tell you, it's so obvious that these two people really love each other and really care about each other. And that they are just really, really close. And I hope that comes through in the podcast as well, is that they're not just a successful hunting couple, they're a successful marriage, you know, and that's an important thing. They've been together 25, 26 years now, as far as being married, somewhere in there. I'm sure they're going to correct me on that one when they hear this. Yeah, really.
They've been married a long time, Pete. I mean, I can't. You're close.
Yeah.
What can we look forward to as far as some of the venues that that you'll be talking about bow hunting? Because they're based out of Illinois. Hopefully, you're going to get them to come down to South Carolina and do a game zone. How to be successful in public land hunting in upstate South Carolina? That's an episode I'd like to see.
Well, I've already invited them several times. I said, guys, you know, the deer hunting here in Illinois is a whole lot different than South Carolina, and we don't have as big a deer, but I tell you, it's a whole lot tougher to kill them. I can tell you that here in South Carolina, I haven't been fortunate enough to get to hunt with them and in other states and stuff. It's pretty tough here. It really is. So some of the topics that we're going to cover are like early season whitetails in the Midwest. We have an episode for I'm trying to remember now because we pre-recorded a few just to get it launched. You know, we got one on ground blind hunting, whether it's natural or pop up, how to do it, where to do it, scouting for that. We got one on hunting public land. We're doing one on planning an out of state hunt. A lot of people now are trying to broaden their horizons and not just hunt game zone too, Philip, but they want to go to Kentucky or Illinois or Kansas. They don't even know where to start, you know. And so we do a whole podcast on that, on how do you find something like that. But there's also ones on tips and tactics. We have a turkey hunting podcast that'll be airing this spring. So, you know, we're really trying to really cover what we think that the average hunter wants to know. And one of the things we're going to be relying on is for listeners to email us through the podcast, through the website, and the links will be talked about there, tell us what you want to hear about.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because while they may know about muskox hunting, how many of us are ever going to go on a muskox hunt? You know what I'm saying? So what do you want to hear about? Tell us what you want to know. And that's what we're going to talk about. You know, we're trying to keep the podcast under an hour so that it's reasonable to listen to on a commute or during your lunch break or something of that nature. Most of them are between 45 and 55 minutes, so that it's a reasonable amount of time in order to cover the topic well, but also be entertaining and not blow, you know, just try to stretch it out for a long, long periods of time. Because unlike you guys, we don't have as many breaks in there,
right,
where we can start another segment. We got one topic for the entire set, for the entire show.
Yeah, and it's also helpful. You mentioned getting listener input into it, and that's something that we really sometimes we do well on, and sometimes we don't do so well on. In when we're doing live radio, of course, we get text, running commentary. So that would be something that would be interesting to be able to incorporate. And we do get emails about our show from time to time, and it kind of helps you tailor that to the listener.
Right. It does, you know, because this will be reaching a global audience because it'll be streamed, you know, through the podcast, you know, or the internet sources. So, you know, I got some comments from a guy in Nova Scotia say that he can't wait to listen. He's been a fan of their show forever. And of course, a guy in Nova Scotia has a different concerns than what these guys in upstate South Carolina care about, you know? So that's another thing that we have to struggle with, to say, how do we make this appeal to the broad audience so that it pertains to everybody regardless of where you are. And the reality is every show is not going to appeal to everybody.
True.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know that there are turkeys in Nova Scotia, so that episode won't appeal to them, but the next one may. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tommy.
I was going to say, do you have any plans to? You seem to me like the big thing, and it's not so much archery oriented, but talking about the chronic wasting disease, which has really come to the attention of the folks in South Carolina because it's getting closer and closer. I would be really interested to see how folks out west, you know, kind of what their vision is on that.
We actually have a whole show on that coming out sometime this spring that we're doing. We're talking with some of the leading biologists in the country and some of the leading DNR people who've been studying this since its inception that are sitting down with us and talking about it. We're going to we'll be getting into that very in depth and covering that about, and all the theories behind it. You know, there's a lot of discussion about how is it spread, how do we contain it, what do you do once it's in your area. There's just so much to cover about CWD, and so we decided that, hey, this is a hot topic right now, especially close to where they are, mm-hmm. but also everywhere. And so we have an entire episode of that. We also have one where we're interviewing game wardens, because one of the things that you run into with your hunter or fisherman or trapper or wherever you are is the perception of game wardens is not very positive. You know, it just seems like, anyway. And Philip, you can probably attest to that, and being an outdoor journalist, you know, when people mention the fish cop, then they're not mentioning it in a very honorable way.
Yes, they're not.
So what we're trying to do is to have some game wardens in and say, tell us what you wish every hunter or fisherman knew about what you do. How do you want the angler to present themselves if you pull your boat up next to them? You know, what are the most common mistakes that people make? You know, the overlooked violations, the ones that you just don't think about. And it's a violation. And as an example, duck hunters forgetting to put in life jackets. They forget when they're in a boat that they have to obey boating laws. They're thinking about hunting laws. They're not thinking about boating laws. And that's probably the most common one that game wardens say, is that people who are hunting out of a boat forget that they're in a boat and they have to follow the boating laws as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so we cover things like that, just trying to educate people. And again, bring in people that are experts in the field, and to make it entertaining as well.
Well, Pete, before we let you go, it's Tommy. Look, man, I've been married 33 years, and I'd love to interview Ralph and Vicky. So can you put a little good word in for us and tell them to call us up?
Yeah, any way you can do a call-in. We got a special call-in on the podcast.
Because I've been married, like I said, 33 years, and I have some fantastic questions I could ask Ralph and Vicky, okay?
I don't know that they're giving marital
advice. No, I'm an outdoorsman, too, so it's going to be intertwined, okay?
I'll see them next week, Tommy. So I'll ask them.
Thank you, Pete.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, Pete, before we let you go, tell us again the podcast and where folks can go to and get hooked up with that as you guys get started.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. Again, it'll launch Monday, January the 7th. It's called Ralph and Vicky's Off-Grid Podcast, hosted by Pete Rogers. And it'll be available on your Apple Podcast app, on Google Play, Spotify, Waypoint TV, and YouTube at Ralph and Vicky. We're working on some other avenues, but right now those are the ones where you'll be able to find it on Monday. Okay.
Awesome. All right. Awesome, Pete.
Pete, thanks for being on the show, and good luck with the new venture.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having me.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Awesome.
Awesome. We should have somebody come in here with a camera and film us while we do
Upset Outdoors.
I think it would be a hit. We need to talk to the boss about that.
Okay, I'll let you handle that. Yeah. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, Philip.
Yeah.
I'm easy to work with.
All right, well, let's go to our break. When we come back, Springer's going to be easy to work with on the calendar of events.
Right here on Upstate Outdoors, 106.3 WORD, the Upstate Talk Station. Stay tuned. Need more cowbell. Sorry, Philip, I couldn't help myself.
Well, the cowbell is introducing our calendar of events.
All right, take
it away.
Here we go. Let me get my, I got to get my smartphone to something for our first. Today at Cabela's going on right after the show. If you've just got a new piece of electronics, preferably a Lawrence, mispronounced that. They've got a seminar going on today from 2 to 4. And the gentleman's name, he's a pro staffer, Ken, what was his last name?
Sturdivant.
Thank you very much. And it's going to be free 2-hour on basics of electronics. So if you're having a hard time figuring out a gadget that you just got as far as your Lawrence and electronics for your boat, that might be something you want to go and check out this afternoon and maybe get some 411 on how to operate your new toy that you got for Christmas. On the other note, we got a QDMA meeting banquet coming up on January the 11th. It's the second annual High Cotton Sportsman Banquet, and it will be going on in Union at Veterans Memorial Park Lodge, 322 Veterans Drive, Union, South Carolina. And like I said, January the 11th, 6 to 10 p.m., and contact Wesley Pruitt at 864-762-7233. And here's the one I'm looking forward to, our own Philip Gentry. The man, the legend, the guy that catches 10-pound bass while crappie fishing will be doing some seminars on crappie fishing coming up.
Yep.
Coming up February 1st and 2nd and the 8th and the 9th, and that will be down at Cabela's. They're going to have a lot of stuff going on.
That's going to be some busy weekend.
That's going to be. I was wondering how you're going to work all that in.
I'm still figuring it out.
Okay, and coming up on February the 8th, Hunting Heritage Banquet, Aiken County Chapter. We talking about the NWTF, baby. It's coming. We'll be on the 8th of February at the Aiken County Fairgrounds. And for more information on that, you can call Jay Bryan at 803-502-4378 or go to the NWTF website and click on Local Chapter and Events. And it's right there on the main page. That's your calendar events.
And we had, thank you, Mr. Springer.
Hey.
We had,
short and sweet.
We put them B&M poles to use down there in Florida.
Catching.
We were catching, mostly
mutton snapper.
It caused some mangrove, and wasn't mutton snapper, it was mangrove snapper. But got down there, and I'm looking at water that's about 3 foot deep, and you can't do anything on the bottom because there's grass growing on the bottom.
Thick.
And a lot of fish hid in the grass, and they're like, and looking at that, I say, well, you gotta find open spots, and you cast to them. And
right.
Anybody who knows me, I know how to cast, and I'm proficient at casting. It's not my favorite thing, though, okay? I guess because of my ADD, I gotta be moving. And we hit on this a couple years ago and started trolling the grass flats, freelining live shrimp.
Awesome.
And I had – and we took – now, I ordered from B&M Poles, I ordered 2 18-footers this year. We look like outriggers running off of our Key West out there. And I actually had one of the local guides say – what in the world do you do with them big long poles?
I bet he did.
And I'm like, and I was kind of embarrassed. I said, well, I'm freelining live shrimp because I don't know any better.
Right.
And he goes, you catch any fish? And I said, well, you know, and they're just recovering from kind of their red tide.
Yeah, they had some problems
kind of thing
down there.
But the good thing is it killed a lot of the trash fish.
Right.
The bad thing is it killed a lot of the trash fish, so we're normally just like catching all kind of stuff, but not stuff you want to catch.
Right.
It slowed down a lot of the action on the days that we could get out there on the grass flats because of the wind. But we caught some really good trout just free lining. Same thing that you do, you know, on Lake Hartwell, free lining live herring on nothing but a line and a hook, and maybe a split shot, or maybe, and I would definitely recommend this, putting a swivel somewhere in there. Because when them shrimp, when they stop kicking and they start spinning. They really screw your lineup. I learned that. But, and you know, so it really and truly, you can catch a monster fish on those long,
yes,
long poles.
You've done it. And for those of us, And for those that follow you on Facebook, we have one request.
What's that?
More pictures of boat girl fishing in a bikini.
Yeah, well. What's the matter with me doing bird release?
Well, it's nice, but it ain't the same.
Well, speaking of things you really like to see.
Woo!
Well, today's parting shot, we're waiting for to load. That's also embarrassing. Oh, thank you, Mr. Springer.
Yes. Have
this
at
is
it,
like
brother.
Second time in a month that you that you've helped me out by handing me the printed version.
It's old school.
If you got a kid in college and he's going to Virginia-based Radford University, you'll probably be paying as part of his tuition for a Bigfoot course. And a move that's sure to help future graduates land their dream job, right? What was your major focus in? Oh, I took his class about Bigfoot. There's a Bigfoot college course now in session. The course is being taught by Dr. David S. Anderson, who describes himself on Twitter as an archaeologist specializing in Mesoamerica and pseudo-archaeology.
Why don't they just call him Professor Squatch?
Yeah, there you go. for those of you diehard Bigfoot believers looking to see one up close, this course might not be exactly what you'd hope for. Dr. Anderson shared some additional details on it with his Twitter followers. He says it will be part of the university's critical thinking general education courses. Critical thinking, okay? You already got a generation, right, who's got no background in anything.
Brain dead.
And they're going to give them a course on critical thinking about Bigfoot.
It doesn't exist.
He says, I used to teach this subject from a strict, skeptical, it's not true approach, but I found that it to be unproductive and ultimately boring in the classroom. So now I try to back up and get the students to ask bigger questions. What do people believe? Why do they believe? And I encourage the students to try and experience a paranormal phenomena, as if they're not doing that in the frat houses on the weekend anyway, all with a bent toward understanding how people construct knowledge. So our future generation is
doomed.
In good hands, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, that's the end of our show. I want to thank our guest, Bart Littlejohn of Carolina Farm and Wildlife Supply, and our buddy Pete Rogers, outdoor writer, photographer, and podcast host. Springer, that's the end of the show. Take us home.
Thank our guest, and also thank our sponsors, Carolina Farm and Wildlife and the Clinton House Plantation. Get outside, the sun's shining. See you next week.